Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Text Number 4. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Yesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. No, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, right? Chapter 14, okay. Translation, within the waters of the Mandakini Ganga, which were crowded with gardens of lotus flowers, the two sons of Kuvera would enjoy young girls, just like two male elephants enjoying in the water with female elephants. Purport. People generally go to the Ganges to be purified of the effects of sinful life. But here is an example of how foolish persons enter the Ganges to become involved in sinful life. It is not that everyone becomes purified by entering the Ganges. Everything, spiritual and material, depends on one's mental condition. Om jnanatimirandhasya jnananjana shalakayah chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sabitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurau Shri Yuthapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindhobhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Before I start, I'd just like to seek the blessings of all the devotees, present and not present. Please bless me so I can say something worthwhile to make your experience of Bhagavatam class a little bit enjoyable and educational as well. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. very beautiful verse, very instructive verse. Very much revealing as well, very much exposing of a practitioner's heart. Because we all practice devotional life. And if we don't do it with full heart, and if we don't practice our devotional service with consciousness, then we do not get the full benefit of devotional life. Just like here, the two sons of Kuvera are going into the Ganga. Yes, Ganga is not as powerful as the devotional process, but it is parallel. You can synonymous the Vedic ritualistic process is you bathe in the Ganga, you get purified, right? But here they're doing that. Yet Prabhupada is explaining that they're not getting the benefit of bathing in the Mandakini river. I was listening to a class on this verse by a devotee, I forget his name, and he was saying how, you know, there's this verse in the Nectar of Instruction, or is it in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it says that long contact with the Ganga purifies. And referring to this pastime of these two demigods, he says, you know, there's a verse in this, there's a word which says they used to do it on a regular basis. So it wasn't the first time they were entering into the Ganga to do their frivolous activities. It was a regular happening. So this devotee is explaining, at the end we see that they got great, great benefit. Like supremely great benefit. So it's explained that these two friends, these two brothers were friends or familiar with Lord Shiva. And therefore, they even got the permission to enjoy in Kailash. Otherwise, it's not possible. But because of having a familiar relationship, Lord Shiva allowed them to, you know, be around him and be in the Ganga. And then perhaps many sages used to see them and think, how disgusting, how fallen these people are. But today, and later on, Narada will come and then he will sort them out. So the devotee is explaining, like, you know, all of us, we have a driving license, and we can possibly be frivolous, but it's only a matter of time. You know, you can get 3 points, and then you'll get a few more points, and then when you reach 12, then it's taken away. Until you reach 12, you know, you can create havoc. So similarly here, the credit of these two brothers is slowly being depleted, you know. They're defiling the Ganga. That is, you know, 3 points gone. Disrespecting the holy people who are in that area, disrespecting Lord Shiva, another 3 points gone. And then associating like animals. Gaja viva karayanu bhi, just like an animal. Another 3 points. And then finally, in their height of intoxication, when Narada will come, just like the police warden, you know, or the, what do you call it, DVLA, 12 points, finished. So this is the position. They're using up their credits. So this word which says they used to do it on a regular basis, you know, sometimes we feel also we're, you know, in Krishna's house and we do some naughty things, hey, we can get away with it. People still say, oh Prabhu, you're great, you know, would you like to come for prasad to my house? And, you know, you still get all the benefits. But slowly, if we continue to be frivolous, then we're also using up our good credits. In whatever way or form, I'm sure all of you are thinking of instances, but we're also using up. Offenses works in a similar way. You know, we be offensive, and we think, hey, you got away. I'm still chanting. I still come to the morning program. I'm okay. But then everyone's got a quota. When that's depleted, then all of a sudden one day we find that chanting is boring, or these devotees are giving me a headache and I can't stay in this place anymore. And we think, yes, it was their fault. they never deserved for me to be with them. But actually, it's our credits being removed. So devotional practice has to be done with full attention and very cautiously. Shurasya dharam nishitam duratyaya durgam pathastat kavayo vadanti. That this path of devotional service is like a razor's edge. And the wise have said that it is a very difficult path to travel. It's difficult because we become casual. We forget that we need to be careful. We need to follow the traffic rules. We feel, hey, I've been doing it. I jumped the red light 2-3 times. There probably isn't a camera here. That's what happens. And we should be very cautious. Prabhupada here is saying that everything spiritual and material depends on one's mental condition. Even though being in the Ganga, even though being such a close associate of the greatest devotee, Lord Shiva, they're messing around. So Prabhupada is saying not only the spiritual path depends on one's mental condition, but even the material depends on one's mental condition. So I searched some quotes on the mind, and there's great personalities, you know, Abraham Lincoln, Buddha, and various other names, Mark Twain, and they're all saying that if one's mind is peaceful, then everything around him works fine. If the mind is not peaceful, then even if everything is going according to plan, we still feel insecure, fearful, and unconfident about the process. So similarly, in the spiritual path for us, our sadhana, our other practices, our seva, we feel happy or we feel dissatisfied depending on the mental state, on our mental condition. You know, people, two ways, people think, or one who's in the temple is a pure devotee. All of us living in the temple, we know, at least I know, I'm definitely not a pure devotee. And on the other hand, a person living outside, we may think, nah, Prabhu, he didn't come for 7 o'clock. He didn't come for Mangalati. I haven't seen him for a few months. This guy is probably blooped. But then, in the heart of that person, of the devotee, the grihastha, he's probably doing great study, great worship of the deities, and great, you know, taking care of the family to the best capacity. So this is the state of mind. We will feel happy in our devotional life if we do everything with the best of our heart. Srila Prabhupada told one disciple that if you're not feeling happy in the process of devotional life, then you're doing something wrong. So, if the mind is a friend, Krishna says in the Gita, the mind is the best friend or the worst enemy. It's the mind. It's not the fellow devotee. It's not the boring class giver. And it's not the materialist. It's our condition of the mind. On Wednesday, we went to a program with Sachinandan Swami, and he was giving lessons from World War II. Interestingly, he said the first lesson that I got from that class was the success of the army of Hitler was in their conviction, was in their absolute dedication and being sold out to the mission of Hitler. They sincerely thought that we are better than the others and this world should be a place only for the best. So he said, he was giving the example of his father. His father was, you know, recruited into the army at the age of 16. And he said, we were taught and we had absolute conviction of this principle. And he said, because of their being so strongly fixed in mind, they were so successful, at least in their activities. So I thought that was very, very interesting. Because sometimes the devotees are the most callous. I'm talking particularly about myself. We can be the most aloof to the being, how much we should be fixed in our devotional service. You know, you meet a professional in the outside world and he's so fixed, you know, 7 o'clock on the dot, he's out of the house. We come at 7:15 to Guru Puja, and nah, it's okay. Just being in the environment will purify me. I'm talking to myself, I'm preaching to myself here. But they're so fixed, their 8 hours of work is jam-packed. They work in the lunch hour as well. But that same person, he comes to the process of devotional service at the temple. He doesn't have to be. I don't have to be very professional. I don't have to be very fixed. I can just, you know, be in the association. Everything will happen. But we see in the outside world, it doesn't happen. We have to do it. So then in the spiritual path also, we should be on our toes, that we have to perform, we have to execute our devotional service to the highest degree, and the salary is not money, but the salary is purity. The salary is conviction and faith and purification and so many things. So many times I feel, if only I could be as fixed as those who are fixed in their work outside, then I would have been somewhere else in my devotional practice, as in my standard would have been, you know, much further. But no, I've always been chant Hare Krishna, whether it's, you know, in the morning or late till 10 p.m. You're chanting, Prabhu. You'll go back to Godhead. No. Rapid advancement comes when we're fixed in every aspect of our devotional service. And this is just a fact. Every devotee, every acharya we look at, you know, they're very efficient. Rupa Goswami, just as he was efficient in his spirit, in his material life, he was the top, the best. Similarly, in his spiritual life, he was the same. Intensity of austerity, intensity of, you know, devotional practice. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gananativi. It's explained, Raghunath Das Goswami, 2,000 dandavats every day. 2,000 devotees you look at and you pay complete dandavats to. We come here, pay obeisance to Prabhupada, pay obeisance to deities once. You come in the second time during the day, we think just paying, you know, at the door is enough. Again, talking about myself. But where is the mind? In the Varnashram system, there is Dashavidha Samskar, Prabhupada talks about. 10 very important samskars that are meant to be performed to purify the living entity in this material world. The amazing thing is, majority of these samskars are done when the child is unconscious in the sense of before the age of 5. And majority of the samskaras are done, except for vivaha and then death, antyeshti. What's the point? What's the point of doing something before the age of 5? You know, school education, your mind starts developing afterwards. But no, that is not samskar. Samskar is impressions put on the living entity even when he's in the womb. Because these samskars affect the mind and the consciousness of the living entity. They like throwing seeds in fertile soil. The consciousness of the living entity when he is very young is very fertile. Anything goes, it'll develop. So therefore, we try to put as much as good samskars, impressions in the heart, so that it will sprout. When we get older, the soil becomes less fertile. Therefore, it's very difficult to learn something when you're older. So, these are influencing the mind of the living entity. These are affecting the consciousness of the living entity. When he does grow up, then we're amazed. Hey, how come he's so attracted to coming to the temple? Hey, how come he is so natural in his devotional service? You know, devotee kids. For some reason, they know where to go. As soon as they come in, they know where to go. And very quickly, you know, bowing down, jai, all this becomes very easy for them to do. So this is samskar. And it's been ingrained in society. Varnashram, if followed, this is a system where your mind, your consciousness will be elevated so that when you do practice of devotional service, it's natural. Prahlad Maharaj says in his teachings, the 7th canto, that approximately 95% of education is done from the time of conception to the age of 5. Far out. 95% of your education is already done by the time you're the age of 5. What you learn afterwards is only, you know, the gross subjects. The consciousness, the character is ingrained. And I suppose the 5% of malleability in the character can be done if one is very much in association with devotees. So very important. And I wanted to say something about elephants. Because it's very interesting that here, you know, generally a person who is absorbed in sense gratification would be compared to a dog, compared to a hog, compared to an ass. But here, gajav iva karenubi, that these personalities are compared to elephants. Bathing with their mates. So I did a little bit of research on what's this with elephants and water. And I found out some very interesting things which can help us to really understand the mentality of these two souls and why they were cursed to be trees for 30,000 years, approximately. What is the mind? What is the activities they are doing? Now, this is Bhagavatam class, and I'll try as hard as I can to not breach the etiquette. But the first thing, elephants are known for their pride, false ego, especially when they're drunk. And we have examples of the mad elephant offense. What happens in the mad elephant offense? It's like an elephant runs over your garden of devotional life. When an elephant is mad, nothing stands in its way. It clears the route for anything, like a bulldozer, you know. And also, because of their size, they feel, hey, no one can do anything to me. So here these two brothers are maddened like elephants. Firstly, because obviously they're intoxicated, they're completely mad. Secondly, because of their high connections. Some things we can resonate with. Because of their high connections, they're, you know, associates of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the most powerful. You know, they're in this heavenly abode. So they're intoxicated. Who can touch me? If Lord Shiva is okay, then hey, what's your problem? High connection. Then thirdly, their bodily beauty. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Gonitai ki jai. So their bodily beauty. An elephant, when it makes its mark in the pack of elephants, or the pride of elephants, or whatever you call a group of elephants, then that itself is maddening. So here, these two brothers, because of their bodily luster, probably because of their, you know, swag, if they say, the style, they've attracted all these ladies, these Gandharva ladies, or the demigoddesses, very beautiful. So there, and I tell you, one of the most, the times of greatest pride, especially for a man, is when a lady compliments. And that's the most, that's the height, that's when you tip over. And this is what's happening. When these ladies are so freely associating with this, with these two brothers, they're starting to think they're like the elephants. They're the bold, they're the proud, they're the most beautiful, untouchable. It's explained that even when Gajendra was caught by the crocodile, he thought, small crocodile, why are you trying to mess around with me? Because he's maddened. All these, you know, the other elephants are there. So because of this madness, he's thinking, don't waste my time. Don't try to disturb me. But then slowly, after 1,000 years, he realizes, no hope, sorry. The only shelter is the Supreme Lord. So 1,000 years it took Gajendra to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And here, these two brothers, they're like those mad elephants. Completely audacious, thinking they're untouchable. They are untouchable. So, how do these elephants, how do elephants enjoy themselves? I tap that in. The first thing, elephants love to play with water. And they love to play throwing water on each other, play with mud, it said. They play with mud. So that's what these two brothers are doing. And perhaps because they're in the water, and because they go to enjoy in the water, Sukadeva Goswami is comparing them to elephants. But elephants bathe. What else do we know about elephant bathing? That it's not really bathing. They bathe, they go on the shore, and then they throw dirt on themselves again. So actually they're not bathing for cleanliness. They're bathing only for cooling themselves. So here also, the Ganga, they're not bathing for purification. They're bathing just, it's another reservoir of water. So it's just a sense gratification exercise. It's not actually cleaning the body. So elephant bathing, that's why Prayaschitta is like elephant bathing, because it's not actually for purification. You're just trying to free yourself from sin, so you don't have to suffer. That's why Parikshit Maharaj doesn't accept. So they're in the water now. The second thing I learned about elephants bathing is, when elephants bathe, they really like to push around, you know, push other elephants, wrestle with elephants, and it becomes a whole sport. So this is the sensual enjoyment now that these brothers are enjoying. Pushing around, not amongst themselves, pushing around with the opposite sex. So it's just a degrade, a very gross type of sense gratification. A devotee who I was listening to class from was saying that he could have compared them to buffaloes. You know, buffaloes like to bathe as well. He could have compared them to any other animal. You know, hippopotamus. But no, elephants. Why? Because elephants bathing is very sensual. It's very gross. They like to push around. So these men, these two, are also doing the same with the ladies. Complete gross enjoyment. And then, the third thing I learned about elephants is when they like to stick in groups, and when two elephants are enjoying, all the other elephants applaud and hype them up like cheerleaders, basically. So this is again very significant for us to understand the extent of this type of enjoyment and why Narada is so strict with them. These two men, X number of ladies, when they're enjoying, and it's all becoming a festival of sense gratification. That's why I thought very clearly it makes good sense that Sukadeva Goswami would compare them to elephants, because going to a secluded place and then associating with the opposite sex and then creating that environment where it's a very open exhibition of sense gratification, that's perfect for this situation. So elephant, Nalakuvera and Manigriva are very much using up their allowance of points. And soon we will see in the future how they will fall into trouble. And when we hear that punishment, then we can say, yes, they deserved that standard of punishment. So going to a holy place, you know, in the Ishapanishad, there's a description of ignorance is anyways a path to hell. But knowledge misused is a path to even a darker hell. So this is what the situation is here. You know, these two personalities would anyway go to hell, would anyway become trees, because the, you know, parallel reaction of liking to stay nude is that you become trees because they're nude. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there's that beautiful picture. Someone likes to stay nude, becomes a tree. So this was going to happen to them anyway. But it's the divine intervention that gets them to that place, makes them trees, but then also gives them the benefit of being in the Ganga, being associated with devotees, being a companion of Lord Shiva, and then being in touch with Narada Muni. So they got the punishment. They would have become trees anyway, but they wouldn't have got the benefit of being trees in Nanda Maharaj's palace. So Narada just makes a balance and gives them the greatest benefit. Sometimes, I'll finish on this, we feel that if I take to devotional life, I should become completely sufferingless. I should be only happy. But it just come to mind that this is a similar treatment that we get for our misdeeds as devotees. You know, Prabhupada says, you misbehave, you may be, as a devotee, you'll maybe become a monkey or a dog in Vrindavan. Huh? And then you can move on, get purified. So, when we perform devotional service, it is not necessarily that Krishna will free us from all suffering. We will probably still go through the suffering. But what Krishna in the process of devotional service does is what Narada did to Nalakuvera and Manigriva. The suffering is there, the experience of suffering is there, but the result, the outcome is going back to Godhead. So you become monkeys in Vrindavan, but then, and you suffer. Monkeys in Vrindavan suffer a lot. Indian people, Brajvasis, they're not the, you know, lovey-dovey, oh, you're a monkey, come and take something to eat. They see you mess around with the Brajvasi, he gives you a slap. Like we used to do in Gurukul as well. So, this is what happens to the reactions of our bad karma in devotional life. And really, we should only glorify that because, hey, at the end, they are going back to Godhead. I'll close on one note. The only other place where Shukadev Goswami explains this example of elephants with their mates in the water. And I think it's very nice to close on this because, you know, we hear the Gita says the spiritual world, or the material world, sorry, is a reflection of the spiritual world. The highest there is the lowest here, right? So, Krishna in the Rasa dance, when he goes into the water of the Yamuna, he's also compared to an elephant going with his mates. When Krishna in Dwarka is enjoying with the queens in the lakes of Dwarka, he's compared to an elephant bathing with his mates. When Balaram goes to Vrindavan, when he goes, he gets very angry at the Yamuna, and then he associates with the gopis, his gopis. Then he's compared to an elephant bathing with his mates. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.